gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's true, Jim. I saw Jackie Schechner take Cory Booker out with one punch.
Really?
I also saw some Girl Scouts throw him into a jukebox.
She's so slender.
Yeah, he ain't all that. Cory Booker. I'm going to come up with Cory Booker anti-hero stories now that he just looks like a big doofus.
Well, I think it's Stockholm Syndrome because he did that video with Chris Christie.
And yes.
You know, you're right, Chris.
Yes. We all have to be bipartisan, don't we? Oh, saying bad things about anyone is not fair. All right, we'll
you say that or else.
Well, what it is.
I'll sit on your head.
He's
exactly. If you were in the same state as Chris Christie, who threatened to sit on you, you'd be a scared too.
Oh, what it is he's a typical politician. He's going to need Wall Street money if he's going to be running for any higher office. And so
that's what
just
I should do. I should make him come on my bike trip that I'm getting ready for and pedal backwards the whole way.
Yeah.
Backpedaled.
That would be nauseating.
Uphill.
Yeah. He's just a typical politician.
Please.
I lost a lot of respect for him.
We'll get to all that. Yeah, me too. We'll get to all that. Oh, please. We're fired up about a couple of things this morning. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice D.D. Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, like Steve did, to say, Steph, your show is wonderful on Current. It's the last hope to save television.
Wow, really?
You're right, Steve. You're right.
Oof.
This is it.
More than
in the barren wasteland of television, this is it.
More than
the last best hope.
True Housewives of Hoboken?
All right.
Don't you mess with my housewives.
God. All right. One of the things that we're fired up about. Kate in Tampa writes, Steph, about Trayvon. Hey, Mama, isn't it strange how the right wing keeps insisting this kid was 6'2 or 6'3 when his autopsy states he was 5'11? Is it the right wing wants us to convince us he was a big, menacing, dark-skinned, creepy N-word?
Did we say 6'3? We meant 6'8.
Yeah. Yeah, he gets taller with every telling of it.
Yeah,
taller and heavier.
Your fan in the future, Mrs. Jim Ward, when Gene Nelly gets out of the picture.
That's
your next one,
Kate.
Mm,
well, yeah.
Yeah, Jim, you were saying that before the show about it's unbelievable that them talking about dropping charges.
Yeah, they're dropping charges now.
Look,
yeah.
The only relevant thing, I think, in all the stuff that has come out is the lead investigator wanted to charge him with manslaughter
right.
because he said the relevant thing is he should have stayed in his car like
right.
the authorities told him to.
He was stalking him with a gun.
With a gun. That's not the way neighborhood. See, watch means you
watch.
And then you call the appropriately trained authorities who are armed to come deal with it.
Well, George Simmons thought it was neighborhood shoot first.
Yes. And it wasn't. That's yes, exactly. Part of the problem is the law. And, you know, exactly. It's a kid. It wasn't even a situation. It was a kid with some Skittles trying to get home to his father. You
yeah.
know, and it's that. Anyway.
And he had his hoodie on with the hood up because it was raining.
Yeah.
Not because he's
yeah.
a thug.
Yeah.
Not according to Geraldo.
But again,
he looked like a thug.
No, it's not relevant.
We're back to the, she must have wanted to be raped because she was wearing a short skirt. I mean, it's like, what?
And bent over a pinball machine.
And Geraldo looks like a gay porn star.
So
you know.
Just saying, what? How is that relevant? Jim, see? Things that are not relevant.
A gay porn star from the 70s.
Yes
exactly.
Indeed. Geraldo does have a porn star mustache. Not relevant, Jim. Stricken from the record. How dare you?
Okay, 70s porn mustache.
Drop charges.
All right.
Drop charges against Geraldo.
So noted.
Okay.
So stipulated.
There.
Why are we in a courtroom suddenly?
I don't know.
Harry Perry Mason thing is
yeah.
coming back. And my...
But Geraldo did show the Zapruder film for the first time in public.
Did he?
Which he's trying to run away from. Yeah, we talked about that.
It's a post facto.
Yeah.
We're done with the courtroom
Sorry.
Thing. Move on.
Okay.
It's time for the John and Pam show in
Ohio.
I'll
need to examine my briefs.
Hi, John and Pam.
Hey, Stephanie. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Hi, John.
Good morning.
Good.
Hey, I just want to let you know, equality has come to a little country town in the rural parts of Ohio.
Yeah.
We have a young man back at last year in 2011, and that in April, he wore a shirt on the Day of Silence and that and everything, that Jesus was not a homophobic. And the principal told him he had to take it off twice and that and everything. Well, there is some equality and justice has finally come to Ohio because the district court and everything here in Ohio granted the young man $20,000 and that and everything on settlement that his First Amendment rights and his belief in that and everything was violated.
Hmm. Yeah, well, good. Yay. Can I talk to Pam? I'm sorry, I was missing something in my life, and it's Pam.
Hi, honey.
Hi, Pam.
How's my favorite three people in the morning?
And so how's our favorite two people?
Yeah, I know. See, I told I was going to be quiet, but nope, I got to talk to my baby in the morning.
That's right. It's the John and Pam show. We need a jingle.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
Yeah, but we had to let you know that poor child over there, Stephanie, they ridiculed him in this place.
Yeah.
And, you know, he came out that he was gay in school, and the kid accepted him. It was the adult.
Yep. And here's a side fun fact, Pam. Jesus was not homophobic, so there you go. He didn't say anything.
Ding, ding, ding,
not
ding,
one
ding,
word.
Ding.
There you go.
Ding, ding, ding.
All right, this is my favorite edition of the John and Pam Show. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, sweetie. All love right. You, bye.
Love you. It's the John and Pam Show from Ohio. All right. So speaking of the things that keep me up at night, because I'm a big political geek.
Right.
So, I'm going through the, lies that Mitt Romney tells in my head.
Yeah.
I know what it was yesterday that I forgot about. Oh! So, not only is it, the president obviously saying Bain Capital, obviously, fair game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Corey, talking to you. Here's the analogy that drives me insane. So Mitt Romney said, we only bankrupted a few companies. It's not like all of them.
How many thousands of people lost their jobs?
Are you saying there's winners and losers in business? And then he keeps bringing up Solyndra. I'm sorry. Are you saying that some businesses fail and some businesses and first of all, it started under Bush.
Right.
And the government has always invested in things in green energy like that.
Absolutely. Through government loans and stuff like that.
I got to spend time with Van Jones last week, so I am fired up about green jobs. I'm just saying, what was Jim the... it's failing me now. One of the main reasons experts were saying Solyndra went over is the cost of one of the components that went sky high at the exact moment they were trying to...
Stop me with that.
Yeah, but
one
whatever.
One of the components used in solar cells.
Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah.
Dropped.
Yeah. So it's not his fault that any of the businesses went bankrupt, that Bain took over, really. He had nothing to do with any of that.
Nope.
It wasn't because of the outsourcing and the job cutting and the piling debt on companies.
Right.
But the president is solely responsible for Solyndra not making it, right? And again, you go, this started under Bush, that they make this sound like this was some payoff to Obama's political buddies. He has always talked about, green energy and green jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. And the point of that whole thing is we should be investing more in solar like China is, not less. And
absolutely.
So,
businesses fail for all kinds of reasons, but in terms of Bain Capital, they're deliberately...
But how does the media let him get away with using Solyndra? That's why his Bain record is this huge, fat, juicy target.
Yeah.
I think the president said it best yesterday. He said, he obviously is not criticizing all private equity. There is a way that Bain Capital specifically practiced it that is all about wealth creation for the people at Bain.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And again, yes, Staples succeeded, but there's a ton of companies that didn't under, and if he's running on that leadership, well, there it is.
Private capital is a tool. It's the people who are wielding it.
Yes, Mitt Romney, also a tool. That's my point.
For example.
Sometimes tools are wielding tools. President Obama defended his criticism of Romney's ties to Bain Capital, saying it is rightly part of the campaign debate because Romney himself was emphasizing his business background.
Uh-huh. That's right.
That's
Corey.
His main...
If Romney can point out Bain's successes, then Obama, sure as hell, can point out Bain's failures.
Obama says he has no problems with private equity firms in general. There are folks who do good work in that area. There are times they identify the capacity for the economy to create new jobs for new industries.
But from...
Solyndra!
From Bain's point of view, firing American union workers in favor of cheap overseas labor is a success story.
Yeah, what was the company? Was that the steel mill? Well, they fired them all.
Mm-hmm.
And then decided they could hire them all back at half their wage.
Right.
How would you like that?
If they were non-union.
How would that be if you're union and
no
come
benefits.
Back? It's like,
how about that?
What do you
think
about
that? Well, I feel like I'm bent over koala changing station at the Minneapolis airport. That's how that feels, Mr. Romney. Thank you. So Obama's obviously running political ads. Portraying Romney as a corporate raider, which he was. That was the point of what Bain does. The spots emphasize layoffs and bankruptcies at some of the companies bought by Bain. Still, Obama said the mission of private equity companies is to maximize profits for themselves and their investors. Thank you.
I enjoy firing people.
He is misrepresenting what his business career was about. That's the point. He said that's part of the role of a lot of business people. It's not unique to private equity, but he said a president's job is to worry about everybody, not just some. Maximizing profit is not always going to be good for communities or business workers, he said, the president said.
Mm-hmm.
The reason this is relevant to the campaign is because my opponent, his main calling card for why he thinks she should be president is his business experience.
And when he talks about creating jobs, he's talking about rehiring the people he fired at a much lower wage.
Right. By the way, don't the Olympics get some government money as well?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hmm.
They get assistance.
Just saying.
Bienvenue.
Isn't that the technically government bailout again?
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Obama was asked about comments by Cory Booker, and he said, Booker is an outstanding mayor.
Yeah.
Helping to turn that city around. Could have taken the bait, but he didn't. So Booker first released the hostage video, right, on YouTube.
Yeah.
Saying it's reasonable for the Obama campaign to examine Romney's record since Romney himself has made it the centerpiece of his campaign. Well, thank you. I swear to God, it's probably just being around David Gregory that makes you...
douche out?
Yes. Makes you douche-tastic. All right, so we will...
Is that something you can douche out? Is that what... Wow. I like that a lot.
The president said, I think it's important to recognize this issue is not a quote, distraction, Corey. I'm just going to look into the camera all morning because I know he watches. This is a part of the debate that we're going to be having in this election campaign about how do we create an economy where everybody from top to bottom, folks on Wall Street and folks on Main Street, have a shot at success. Thank you.
Yep.
All right, so we will get to all that crunchy audio goodness as we continue 17 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
When you call me, you call me Al.
Please call me Al.
Yes, by all
right,
means,
that's it.
Call me Al.
We are cutting off Jim's internet access. Must you talk about brain tapeworms when I brought noodles for...
How perfect.
Flat.
I just stumbled across the hidden epidemic, tapeworms living inside people's brains.
Awesome.
And being a hypochondriac, of course, I had to...
Yeah, you're that
there.
Patient every doctor hates. I've been doing some research on the internet.
Oh, boy.
I believe I have a brain tapeworm in addition. Jim did once think he had an ectopic pregnancy.
Yes.
It turned out to be a false alarm.
Yeah, that was one reason he was late one day.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Ectopic pregnancy.
That and his windshield had frosted over in L.A.
Well, it did, actually.
Well, I know.
And I didn't have a scraper because I'm in L.A.
And then we made the mistake of saying that on the air, and now you have 1,000 scrapers in L.A.
All of our listeners from Minnesota sent you their ice scrapers.
I'll send you a scraper.
We got a lot of Minnesota nice here and extra scrapers. So why don't you send that nice Jim Ward one?
I got 50 scrapers in my office.
Every car in Minnesota has like 8,000
ice
scrapers.
You open the glove compartment. Whenever I'm there,
there's that
with
scraper.
My friend Janet from AM 950, you open the glove compartment, just scrapers.
License and registration. Oh, I got a scraper.
All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Buddy in Columbus. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Buddy.
Hey, morning, Mama.
Good
Luke,
morning.
Jackie.
Yes.
Oh, that was a very dirty reading of the name Jackie.
Yeah. Buddy Pervin out on Jackie.
Only our listeners can make a name sound dirty.
Hey, I'm a little wacky for Jackie.
All right.
Oh, boy.
Okay, hey, Mama, let's get the bottom line of Mitt. He made money firing people.
Yep.
Well, that's how you maximize profit, Buddy. It has nothing to do with helping with job creation.
Why do you hate capitalism?
That's why his whole premise is wrong.
But, Mama, look at the whole... business model. He made money loading businesses with unsustainable debt. He made money fobbing off the health insurance and pensions on the federal government. He made money charging these companies usurious rates for management fees that would, as they were taking a company to bankruptcy. There was a company in South Carolina, had been around for 105 years. It was profitable. Bain took it over, and Bain Capital was charging the company $900,000 a year for 11 years as they were taking it from profitable to not profitable to bankruptcy. That's Mitt. Mitt
yeah.
made money off of people
listen,
suffering.
Listen, buddy, we say it every day, but we are sitting in a company that Bain piled a bunch of debt on. We feel like Chris Christie has sat on us
right
every
here.
Day.
Yep.
That's how much debt. And there was a lot of rounds of firing. I mean, that's what, as Buddy said, that's what you do to maximize profits. It's not about helping people
right. mm-hmm.
and create jobs. Sue in Rockville, Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sue.
Hi there. Good morning, all.
Good morning.
Well, you know, no one in the teabagger party will have to worry about brain tapeworm because they don't have any brains.
Clark and Segan.
Yeah.
But you know, Republicans, Stephanie, what's confusing you is that you do not understand Republican math. Okay.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
Romney can claim jobs created after he left Bain because that's a plus.
Mm.
He won't claim he has nothing to do and no responsibility for jobs lost.
Right.
After he left Bain. And Obama only gets a minus. See, there's a plus, only a plus if you're a Republican, and only a minus if you're a Democrat.
Right.
And it's a double minus if you're Obama, because he's blah.
Blah. Blah. Yeah, and Sue, exactly my point about Solyndra. Stop. Why does the media let him get away with using Solyndra? Is a, you know what I mean? You go, oh, I'm sorry. So the one business that didn't work that, you know, President Obama bet on, he's, you know, a complete blah, whatever.
Whatever.
He's a blah.
Blah. That's the point.
Yeah.
Okay, the president yesterday.
If your main argument for how to grow the economy is, I knew how to make a lot of money for investors, then you're missing what this job is about.
Yeah, so Solyndra's the one that went, you know, and that's the only thing that counts. But all of the businesses that went bankrupt under Bain Capital, he got nothing to do with those.
That's right.
And that's why he said on one of the ads, well, that's not fair. I had already gone after when that business went
yeah.
bankrupt. Well, you were the one that took it over and put all the policies in place.
I wasn't physically in the building when it happened.
Yeah,
so
well, it's
I
like, right, somebody setting a bomb and going, I wasn't even there.
I wasn't there.
Right.
What?
And maximizing profit for investors is not the job of the president. The job of the president
yeah.
is protecting the American people.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, yeah.
including people who don't have a gajillion dollars.
Right. So
I'm going to do a movie analogy. Nobody help me. Everybody back
oh,
up. So
Lord.
My point is, it's like the movie Speed, right? Bush planted the bomb on the bus, and now Obama has to drive a certain speed to try to get out of the mess that Bush got us into.
And then Sandra Bullock.
Right?
Well, no.
And then someone
point.
Erased her identity on the internet, so she... Wait a minute,
wait,
that's a different movie. All right, the point is... Every now and again, I think I pull a pretty good analogy out of my arse right then.
Yeah, sure.
And it's true. But, I mean, that really is true. He just wants no consistency in talking about his record. It's like any job that was created long after he left, that was his success.
Right. But
any job lost, yeah.
that's somebody else.
Yeah, that's not me. That was, you know...
Some
right.
blah person.
Yeah, yeah.
Blah.
Winners and losers in business. How it goes. Oh, Solyndra, loser. Okay. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I knew it all along. She is still the same irresponsible train wreck that she always was.
Yep.
So?
What?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-712 the phone number toll free from anywhere. You know what's exciting? Train wrecks. It's exciting.
You can't look away.
Yeah. I'm like Bruce Willis. I'm the only one that survived it. Okay. 1-800 Unbreakable.
Oh, I never saw
that
movie.
That's two movie references in a row I got right completely by accident. 1-800-STEP-12.
How do you know you got that last one right?
I know. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. The president on Cory Booker.
He's doing great work in Newark and obviously helping to turn that city around. I think it's important to recognize that this issue is not a, quote, distraction. When you're president, as opposed to the head of a private equity firm, then your job is not simply to maximize profits.
Thank you. thank you very much. Oh, I'm sure this is related to nothing. Bain and the financial industry gave over $565,000 to Newark Mayor Cory Booker for his 2002 campaign.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Oh, dear. Oh, well. Oh, heavens.
What do you think of that?
What do you think of that? Okay, let's go to Sam in Providence,
Money
Rhode
talks.
Island.
That's right.
Hey, Sam.
You just read the exact same line I was about to read to you out of the Washington Post about the money that Bain and the financial industry had given to Mayor Booker.
Oh, my God, you complete me. You had me at hello.
Well, that, at least I accomplished something this morning, then.
We finished each other's sentences. You had me at hello.
Huzzah.
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 Huzzah. Nicely done. Let's go to Gordon in Iowa. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Gordon.
Hi, how you doing, Steph?
Good.
Well, first I wanted to say that the difference between Bain Capital and, well, one of the big differences is...
Taxpayer money.
Pardon?
Taxpayer money.
Well, right. First of all, the taxpayer money is what went towards Solyndra, and we
yes.
didn't have a choice in that, first of all. Second of all, it didn't start with Bush. They tried to get
yes,
a loan from Bush.
Yes, it did.
Three,
yeah,
they tried
yes,
three
did.
Times to get a loan from Bush, and they denied them all three times.
The process started under Bush. They always review these things, the government, before
sure.
they fund them. It
and
started under Bush.
And they denied the money to Solyndra because they knew it would
they
fail.
They didn't deny
and
the money. The process just started sure. under Bush. They don't okay these things overnight,
right.
Gordon. And
yeah,
the, my point is that Mitt Romney should not use Solyndra as an example of, oh, see, you know, because when he says, oh, you know, businesses fail, winners and losers, you know, yada, yada, then how come none of his failures at Bain count? Why is that, you know, considered,
yeah,
you know, that's off limits to talk about the American pad and paper or the steel company or all these companies that got sucked dry and went under.
They do kind of understand that, but
right.
you also have to look at the fact that, well, look at General Motors. Obama cost more jobs. This is from the Congressional Budget Office
what?
In February.
No.
Obama cost more jobs with that bailout.
No,
than
he did
yeah,
not.
That's from the
Gordon,
that's the Congressional Budget Office.
That is like right-wing talking point. He
That's
did
CBO.
Not. They had the auto companies had to cut in the beginning, but the auto rescue saved ultimately millions of jobs.
Yeah. And just came out in February and said different, Stephanie. They
no.
The CBO doesn't
they,
count ancillary they, jobs around the plants
you know
that support the auto industry.
Gordon, think for a second. Do you really think that rescuing the auto industry didn't save lots of jobs?
Millions.
If all
no,
of those
on.
Companies had
hold
gone under, really?
Hold on. What I'm saying is it cost more jobs than it saved. That's from the Congressional Budget
that
Office,
is not
me.
That's not
that
true.
Is
that
right.
is not
right.
true.
That is just, I can't continue.
I
that
saw
is
it on
just
Fox. A, it must right. be true. The CBO,
that's what Rush said.
Yeah. The CBO only counts jobs that are inside each plant. They don't
right.
count all the ancillary support jobs
right.
that have been
yeah.
saved because
well,
the auto industry was
count.
Saved.
That's like counting government jobs as
even
real
diners,
jobs.
Diners near the production plants were
yeah.
saved
yeah.
because
mm-hmm. yeah, I don't.
The auto industry was, you know, stuff like that that
you, know
you don't think
I'll,
of.
I'll research the number that was, you know, the most experts went with that were either saved or created from rescuing. Auto industry.
Right.
That is just so counterintuitive to go, oh, well, he lost jobs by saving the, huh? huh? Let's go to Cordell in Kentucky. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Cordell.
Good morning, Mama. Good morning, Moo.
Good morning, baby.
Oh, my, it's the official gay block screenwriter at the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Stephanie, I'm getting to the point where I'm getting so sick of these right-wing evangelical crystals, or preachers, excuse me, who are constantly, you know, making sermons saying people like you and me need to be put to death. Excuse me, but it, point me to the passages where God said he didn't want us on earth. I happen to know for a fact.
Cordell,
that,
you know, I was just going to say, by the way, it's like I think these people are emboldened by this vote in North Carolina, but I was looking at the numbers. Do you know how low the turnout was in North Carolina? I mean, it really, I think, came down to, I'll get the actual number, maybe 20% or something of people mm-hmm. that actually voted for this Amendment 1 in North Carolina. But these guys feel emboldened, you know.
Right.
To, did you hear this latest one? Take your organ out, please.
Okay.
Wow-wee. What's his name? The, you know, beat the gay out of your child preacher. He has
oh.
company.
Oh, okay, we've got this coming up in Right Wing World, but we can play it now
do
if
we?
You want.
All right, never mind. Okay. yeah, it's a. I you just read these things and
yeah.
you go, really? But then the disturbing thing is that he's in a church and some people are going, amen.
Yep.
Yeah, he said we need to pen in all the lesbians and queers. with an electrified fence and wait for them to die out.
Electrified fence.
No, because that straight guy. People don't produce any gay people.
Well, actually, he said homosexuals and queers.
Yeah.
Apparently,
yeah.
He knows the difference.
Apparently, there's a difference. I don't really know what it is.
Well, he also said lesbians and homosexuals.
And queers and homosexuals.
All of them.
And gay lions and tigers and bears as well.
Oh, by the way,
yes.
I just did a little bit of research.
You did?
According to the Wall Street Journal, 1.5 million jobs were saved by
the
auto bailout.
I'm sorry, sir. Say what? You mean the Rupert Murdoch-owned right-wing Wall Street Journal?
Said 1.5 million
jobs.
That
was Gordon's point. The president lost more jobs than he saved.
Sure. You keep going with that, Gordon.
Okay.
Well,
how's that working for
bless
you?
Bless your heart.
It's practically the nation, the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
It's
just, you
know. Rita in Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rita.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
Just a couple of quick points. You were right as rain on Solyndra.
Thank you.
The loan for Solyndra was guaranteed in 2009. That means point blank the government was obligated. You back out, you get sued for even more money. Secondly, I am from Flint, Michigan, born and raised there. There are so many jobs that are recreated because of the president saving those factories. The numbers aren't being adequately counted. I grew up there. When those factories closed, jobs were decimated. It was like a wasteland. It is revitalized because of President Obama. And third, I wanted you to know I bought a I'm Too Sexy to Vote Republican hat. And my daughter took it, so I've got to get another one.
Yay! Go get it, sexyliberal.com. Yay! Good
buy
girl.
More.
Good girl, go.
Steph Slogney Gibble.
I'm on for that kind of capitalism.
Kibble capitalism.
Yeah,
capitalism.
Kibble capitalism. That's what I call it. That's what I practice.
Kibbleism.
Mama needs to buy more kibble. Matthew in Syracuse, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, listen, I got to ask you, can somebody please explain to me why Mitt Romney crows about his success of saving a place like Staples? I mean, have you ever worked in a place like Staples?
Have you been inside of Staples lately?
That's corporate death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I mean, you can destroy a steel mill that productively hires and retains people at a decent wage, that you can live, send your kids to college, mm-hmm. but you can't make any money at a place like Staples.
No. Mm.
You're not living.
No. Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously a lot of people in this economy, a job is a job, but...
I understand that, sure.
Yeah, but you're right. There are... I mean, this is what we were talking about. This is what Bain practiced, is like the one company where he fired everybody and said, how'd you like to come back at half... F yeah. your wage.
Yeah, because Staples employees aren't even, normally, they're not even full-time.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, they
really
get no benefits.
Yeah, you can't make a career out of being a part-time cashier at Staples.
Yeah. I haven't worked at a Staples, but I've done far worse, as you know.
You worked at Fung Lum.
Oh, I was a cocktail waitress at Fung Lum, but also my favorite is, remember I had to clean the little, I had to clean bugs off plane windshields at a little tiny airport out there. Where was it? Burbank somewhere? A smaller one, Van Nuys Airport. Yeah.
Van Nuys is still...
That was my job. I had to clean the planes. I had to clean the bugs off the plane windshields.
Gross.
Mm-hmm.
I would have done that in exchange for flying lessons.
Yeah. Well, how come you didn't ask for flying lessons?
Well, because one time they actually made me... I backed a plane into the hangar, and so then I wasn't allowed to drive the planes anymore.
And then you weren't allowed to scrape the windscreens anymore.
No. Okay. How terrifying was that? My job was to check the gauges. Me. I'm like, I can't even... You need to come to my house to, like, when my computer's unplugged.
Right.
Like, that's all good to go. That's good to go off.
Do you know an altimeter from an artificial horizon?
No.
Chris, vertical can velocity you come over and slap the side of my printer so it works again?
That altimeter's fine. Everything... Yep, there you go. Good to go. I also did those things. I had those things to direct the planes.
Oh, wow. Just like an airplane.
Yeah. Where's that forklift? Oh, it's over there.
Except I was drunk. What's happening?
Oh, that doesn't sound good.
Oh, boy.
That's going to leave a mark. Brian and Charlotte, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Brian.
Hey, before I make my point, this is to Gordon. I will take Obama's record in the last 4 years over Mitt Romney's record as governor any time of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
Here's the thing. When the new talking point is 20% of those companies that Romney took over with Bain Capital, they failed. Only 20%. So that leaves like 70-something odd percent that actually succeeded. But at what cost did they succeed? Did they have 200 employees? They went down to 100 employees? So So this is why he's all over the map with how he, when he went against Ted Kennedy, it was 10,000 jobs.
Right.
Then when he was in the primaries, it was 100,000 jobs. Now it's thousands of jobs. Who can say? Who knows?
Right. And Brian, the point is, the reason for cutting jobs was to put more money in his pockets and Bain's pockets, and it didn't always make the companies run better. Sometimes it made them run out of business.
That's right, which makes it fair game. If you're going to say that you're a job creator because of Bain, because you can't run on your record in Massachusetts, then it's fair game.
Yep, yep, absolutely. All right, Brian. Brian's fired up, ready to go.
Yeah.
He sounds like he's in. Okay, 45 minutes after the hour, back with Right Wing World and the, you know, the lesbians in the pen. They're probably really hot, Jim, so I would pay attention.
Lesbians and queers.
Yes, that are all in an electrified pen, according to this North Carolina pastor. All of that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Tim in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tim.
Stephanie, thank you so much for taking your call. The call. My wife and I really enjoy your show. It's serious and it's hilarious.
Thank you.
I don't. It's a small thing, maybe, but Willard Mitt Romney, that's his real name, Willard.
Yes.
He is running for president of the United States, and in the past, he was governor, which he is running away from everything he did as governor. He does not want to talk about it. He refuses to answer questions. Yet when he's announced on TV, on the radio, when he comes on stage, they introduce him as the Governor Romney. And I
well,
don't understand.
Right, and Tim, you know why? Because it's very simple. He is running on job creation. There is no way to spin that you were 47th out of 50 states in job creation when you were governor, and the other three states were hit by a hurricane. Yeah. There is no way to spin that.
There's a gentleman on another station that my wife and I watch. His name is Al Sharpton, and he calls him Willard.
Yes.
He refuses to call him the governor, and it irks me so bad, and my wife too. It irks us that there's such a conflict between what he says and what's the reality. It just bugs the heck out of me.
All
I
right.
get fired up just thinking about it.
Well, good. And you don't need to watch. You don't need to watch anybody but me.
Well, I got a face covered in blueberry pie.
Yes, we have pie here too. Okay, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids?
I've made two strawberry pies from those strawberries that we got from...
Ooh. Did you, really?
Yeah.
How'd that work out for you?
They were awesome.
You didn't lean too far forward into it, did you?
No, no. It wasn't covered by strawberry pie.
All right, Gretchen Carlson on Fox and Friends.
Wouldn't it benefit the Democrats if, in fact, this ad did go up?
The right
because
ad.
It wouldn't be talking about the economy, and that's what President Obama, many argue, doesn't want to talk about?
Sure.
Yeah.
You are clever.
You sussed it out.
Yes,
well, we
might
as well give
us.
Up. She's not too bright.
Oh, boy. Okay. Oh, here's a key Romney surrogate, Donald Trump.
Yeah.
You know, frankly, if I were Mitt, and Mitt is a very honorable guy, he stopped the Reverend Wright ads, and he was, you know, sort of opposed to him. I'd let him go at it, because what's really that you're going back into the past. Mitt has done an amazing job at creating jobs. He's really done an incredible job, and I think it's very unfair.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it's going to be game on, let it be game on. Go after Obama.
Yeah.
Go after Obama in a huge way. Huge.
Huge.
Yes, and birtherism. Use that too, Mitt.
Sure.
I would take his... you know the best thing about when we play Donald Trump soundbite? Somebody sends me another picture of him in the wind. Okay. All right. Rush Limbaugh.
What have we learned about Obama from his own books? He admits to hating white people.
Mm, for God's sake.
When he goes out there and says that one of the thing that he heard Jeremiah Wright say that grabbed him, the thing that Jeremiah Wright said that inspired Barack Obama by his own admission was Wright's claim that this is a world run by white man's greed.
Well,
you've got a little problem there with white people then.
No, you got a problem with greed.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go. Yes, that, I think that was the name of the book. I Have a Problem with White People, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Especially My Mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Forward by Glenn Beck. Okay. Here he is. Yeah. This is a new North Carolina homophobic pastor.
Pastor Charles Worley.
Pastor Charles Worley.
Yes, he's and a man of
no
the
No relation to no, Joanne. Because that is my happy place. Don't let him know. If you tell me he is any relation to my happy place.
I don't know. I haven't done the genealogy research. Oh. Let's call the Mormon Church. Yeah, yeah, they'll have the records.
He probably has his own planet already.
Yeah.
I figured a way out to get rid of all the lesbians and queers, but I couldn't get it past the Congress. Build a great, big, large fence, 150 or 100 mile long, put all the lesbians in there. Fly over and drop some food.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, wow.
Do the same thing with the queers and the homosexuals. And have that fence electrified till they can't get out. Feed them. And you know what? In a few years, they'll die out. Do you know why they can't reproduce?
Ah, yeah, that's clever.
You know what? He is a problem solver. I got to give him that. That is a solution.
But you know what? There is no gay person that has ever been produced by a gay relationship. It's always been by, straight people.
Mm. I just want to say one thing. We like sushi. Okay. All right. Just make sure you drop the right kind of food. Okay. My only question is, what's with that congregation? Just like, Yep. Amen.
Can't
Pastor.
Argue with that.
Nope. Wow, I don't even know what to...
Can we put broken glass in the food when we drop it?
So let me get this straight. So both the homosexuals and the queers?
Yeah.
Yes.
And the lesbians.
And the lesbians.
Because lesbians aren't homosexuals in the least.
Right.
Right.
Homosexuals, lesbians,
and queers. Can I get a number
so
I can just call and ask about the difference between homosexuals and queers?
Yeah.
Let's call the rectory.
Okay.
As they say. Okay.
That's a man of God.
Oh, boy. Keith Abloh. Oh. By the way, I know some lesbian electricians, so you know what?
They can electrify. Yeah.
Yeah. Can unhook that sucker? Listen, they're handy. That is not a good plan.
Lesbians are nothing if not handy.
You need to rework that plan. We would get that thing unhooked and toot sweet.
Or electrified from the outside.
And then so you have a bunch of angry lesbians on your ass.
Right?
Yeah.
And no electrified fence.
Boy. Okay. Yeah, you don't want that, Pastor Worley, now, do you?
What happened to electrified fence? I don't know what happened.
Let me go in there and see if I can hook it. Ow!
Oh,
these are some angry... There's some angry dykes in here. What the hell happened? See, some clever lesbian electrician would just Roadrunner. Here, can you just hold this end of it? And you would sound exactly like Paul Lynde.
Yeah.
Okay. Do it again.
An electrified face, only gay.
All right, Keith Abloh.
The bottom line is, how did we decide that kids are just fine to grow up absent their biological parents? Because why? Because we love each other. Well, three people can love each other, so polygamy has to be close behind. Mm-hmm. How can you have same-sex marriage and not believe that three people can fall in love, which they absolutely can?
All right, well, let's ask Mitt.
Oh. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, ask his family.
Hello. Hmm. Thank you, Captain Slippery Slope. We salute ye. Oh, boy. Okay. Do they have any other argument?
Ixnay on the polygamy
thing.
Right. No. They don't.
And that's all right. And then
then you could marry a fish.
And then I was just going to say, goat for some reason comes very close behind.
Mm-hmm.
Let's marry a goat.
Marry a goat. You could marry a slippery slope.
Exactly. You could technically marry a slippery slope. Okay. What's not hot about that? All right.
Depends how slippery. You know what could make it slippery? Astroglide.
All right. Mm. I have to go get in my electrified pen. We will be right back with Scotch More Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Jim was just on the phone asking Jackie Schechner if she'd like to come over for some Harvest Bristol Cream. 1-800-STEP-1. Sorry to interrupt you. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. You can get new merch there. The I'm a Sexy Liberal and I'm Too Sexy to Vote Republican hats.
Yeah.
Along with the cool new t-shirts. Those even really cute girl ones. Oh, my God. Elena in Concord going to a Sexy Liberal Boston June 9th. Hi, Steph. Oh, my goodness. Bought my tickets in November. Can't wait to see you live. It'll be my first show. Oh. I would like to be the official importer and distributor of French and gay wine of the Stephanie Miller
Show. Oh, dear.
Oh, boy, howdy. Also, I'm going to the show with my best friend. She's married with kids. I'm the single childless loser. Before you came out, I felt that I couldn't be that much of a loser if you, too, were single and childless because you're so funny, smart, and beautiful. Oh, thank you.
I'm a girl.
I'm a girl. Then you came out, became involved in a serious relationship, but I was wickedly annoyed. Wicked annoyed. In Boston. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm sorry to hear of your recent breakup, but at least you made me feel better, so thanks. Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure. See you in Boston.
Progressive Patriots of Boston, leave your Puritan roots behind and join Stephanie Miller for an enticing evening of liberal debauchery. Because Stephanie and her sexy liberal players are coming back for a second helping of Beantown.
But I remember Boston, and that victory was as sweet as the cream pie for which the town was named.
On June 9th, 2012, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, a.k.a. The Big Gig, proudly returns to the Wilbur Theater, starring John Fugelsang, Aisha Tyler, and progressive talk radio star Stephanie Miller. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com, by calling Ticketmaster at 800-745-3000, or by going to the Wilbur Theater box office at 246 Tremont Street in Boston's Historic Theater District. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour on June 9th. It is sure to be both wicked and awesome.
Mm-hmm. Wicked hot.
Awesome!
All right. Yeah, well, I get it. And all the upcoming shows listed there at SexyLiberal.com. SexyLiberal on Facebook. All right, Andy in Madison wants in the lesbian electrified pen. Hi, Andy. You're on Hi,
if
Andy.
The official guy from Wisconsin, if I wasn't married, yes, I would definitely not mind getting thrown in the homo pen.
Because, yeah.
You know, as most men, I could definitely change a few, you know, get them to swing on over.
They just haven't seen yours yet. They just haven't seen yours yet. That's what it is.
You want to know what?
Yeah. All right.
Before a couple of years, there'd be plenty of them that sort of look like me running around. All right.
Okay. Yeah. All right, Andy. Oh, I see. He wants to get in so he can impregnate a couple of the lesbos.
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
sure.
That's what it is. They haven't
seen
him. That's it.
That's why they're lesbians, because they haven't seen him naked.
They haven't seen his... Okay.
Right.
Now why didn't you say so?
Well,
now
that changes everything.
I've never seen one that looks like that. That's awesome. Okay.
You know what?
Let's finish up.
It would be a very tastefully appointed pen.
Oh,
I will give him that.
Oh, indeed. Okay, let's finish up right in the world with noted feminist Bill O'Reilly.
As you know, the Democrats are trying to convince American voters there's a Republican war on women.
No, yeah.
So, what about this war on women? I say it's fiction. Here's some backup. Forbes magazine ranking the most powerful celebrities. 4 out of 5 are ladies. So if you're going to have equal pay for equal work, a lot of male singers are going to be very wealthy.
What is that? No, that's
not. Oh, I see.
Not
Beyonce
proof.
Is some of the norm.
Right. That is not proof of anything, Bill.
Yeah.
Although I will say those statistics, about 70% of they were compiled a long time ago when women weren't in the workforce as they are now. In fact, a lot of women are earning more than their husbands. So
yes, but the point is to just look at Forbes Entertainers list and go, well, see.
Yeah. Well,
see, that proves Lady that there's Gaga's not a...
Beyonce's got $1 billion, so there's no war on the chicks.
Keith in Milwaukee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Keith.
Hi, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Oh, my God, Bill O'Reilly, you know, asking him about women is like asking Chris Christie for dieting advice.
Women have more, particularly women that have been paid off because of sexual harassment claims against
Bill O'Reilly.
Employers.
Here's the thing I wanted to bring up. You know, we're talking about Mitt Romney. You know, first of all, progressives don't begrudge people who are rich. You know, they keep bringing up the fact, you know, people like Brad Pitt or athletes. But, you know, to the best of my knowledge, Brad Pitt or Aaron Rodgers did not make people broke in order for them to make money.
That's right. Yeah, you know, in fact, they tend to give
a lot.
Set, right.
Lots of well-paid union people working on a movie
yep.
set.
Yep.
But grabbing the title of official business expert for the Stephanie Miller Show.
Why not?
Yeah, what the heck? Nobody's taking it.
more so than Mitt Romney.
Yeah, well, I tell you, the thing that I think people have not brought out with these bankruptcies is every time there's a bankruptcy, there's companies that don't get paid.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, they try to put themselves across as being pro-small business, but I bet you there were a lot of small businesses that, mm-hmm. In the wake of these bankruptcies.
Huh? A lot of vendors that didn't get paid, you're
yeah,
right.
Well, and probably to lay off people on top of
mm-hmm.
it.
Yep, hey, exactly. Chris, that trickles down. Go ahead.
Chris, can I say it quickly? I tell you, I like your in-your-face tweet on Gordon there. What's interesting is the Wall Street Journal said 1.5 million jobs mm-hmm. Saved. Paul Krugman only put it at 1 million. So, you know.
Yeah.
So, there you go. We were talking about, Gordon last hour said yeah. that the president lost more jobs than he saved in the auto
right.
rescue.
And the notoriously left-wing Wall Street Journal
says yes.
About 1.5 million jobs were
yes.
saved
yes.
overall.
Mm.
So, suck on that, Gordon.
Okay. All right.
And you rippin' Murdoch was a communist.
Kathleen in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey,
hi,
Kath.
Stephanie. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I've been trying to figure out Mitt Romney. I think he wants this to be a one-man race where he stands on the sideline, take all the credit for everything he did and didn't do. He right. wants everything to be on the president. But if you're running for president, don't your background and what you did or didn't do supposed to come to the forefront? I'm not understanding him. He
yeah.
wants the president to just roll over,
right.
stand there. Don't toot, don't tout, don't say
right.
anything about me. Just talk
yeah,
about yourself.
Apparently, no part of Mitt Romney's record is fair game. So he's just, running as
right.
a hologram.
Don't question me. And his party is the same way. They know Mitt Romney is an empty suit. They know he can't stand. What is he going to do when the president debate him? Holler for
Kathleen, that is unfair to Mitt Romney. He is a completely inauthentic human in a suit.
Yes.
It's not entirely empty. It is full
of
the most inauthenticness. In the world. Thank you.
It's not only a one-man race, he's a one-race man. He's white on white. He's
there you go.
White bread with mayonnaise.
A lot of interest in the lesbian electrified pen this morning.
Yeah.
Carol in New Hampshire, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carol.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I couldn't believe when you played that about these electrified fences. It sounds like a camp of some sort where they mm-hmm. concentrate people they don't
yes.
like.
Oh.
And
maybe
then they
put
can
pink
die.
Triangles on them.
Yes,
yeah.
yes.
It sounds like that, you know, we've heard this before, but I can't imagine where.
Yes, I can. You know, by the way, someone said that today's show has been almost entirely free of Hitler references. So let that be the first one.
Yeah, sure.
Should we play Pastor, what's his name, Worley again?
Yes.
Anyone done any genealogy? Any relation to Joanne? Hope not. Yeah, North Carolina pastor. What, are all the crazy homophobic pastors concentrated in North
Pretty
Carolina
much.
For some reason?
Pretty much.
Bless his heart. Oh, by the way, you know how some the other pastor, you know, sometimes people walk stuff back a little bit?
Yeah.
He went on record as saying, I meant to say what that.
Yeah.
This is exactly what I meant to say.
Yeah.
I did not misspeak in any way when I said.
I figured a way to get rid of all the lesbians and queers, but I couldn't get it past the Congress. Build a great, big, large fence, 50 or 100 mile long, put all the lesbians in there, fly over and drop some food, do the same thing with the queers and the homosexuals, and have that fence electrified till they can't get out, feed them, and you know what, in a few years they'll die out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know why they can't reproduce?
Oh,
that's clever.
Well, you can't say he's not a compassionate conservative.
No, there's that.
We'll give him food.
Yeah,
I'll
he's going to give food aid.
I'll drop sushi on the lesbians and hot dogs on the homosexuals.
Jim Louise, okay.
The gays will just figure out a way to make it into one big circuit party. So,
sure.
There you go. Glow sticks.
It'll be fabulous.
Yeah.
What? Okay.
Flag wavers.
Sure. Okay, we got a lot of choreographers. Kirkland in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kirkland.
How you doing, Stephanie?
Good.
I just called to make mention, I am a minister, a Baptist minister myself, and when President Obama came out with his support of the rights of gays and lesbians. I thought about it, and it came to me that he had took to heart his oath of office, which is to uphold the Constitution of the United States,
mm-hmm.
which
yep.
supports all the rights of all the citizens.
That's right.
Yep, that's right. That's
My
right.
daughter is gay, uh-huh. is a lesbian, and I love her to death. I love her to death. I don't get ministers coming from supposedly a place of being people of God talking like this. This is crazy. They're Wait, condemning their own
Are
stuff.
You suggesting that lesbians remain unfenced, sir? Because that is that appears to be
radical,
radical
yeah.
among pastors in North Carolina.
Well, what I'm actually saying is God created all of us.
That's
and
right.
he didn't make any mistakes.
That's right. Well
so
said.
How can we judge anyone?
That's right. Well said, Kirkland. Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor.
I myself remain a cage-free lesbian. 17 minutes after the hour.
Free range? Free
yes,
range
I'm free lesbian. Range wow. and organic.
Does that mean they get the bi-curious to guard the towers? What? What?
All right. I can't tell the skits anymore from the real people. That guy? Real. Okay, 17.
Don't build me an electrified fence.
All right.
Great, big, large.
Is that a fat joke about lesbians? Okay. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ow. I just snarfed oatmeal out my nose. It must be the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Charlie Pierce coming up after the bottom of the hour. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1 to the number. Wayne in Ohio. Hi, Wayne. Welcome. Hi, Wayne. Hello, Wayne. Going once, going twice. Chris in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Chris.
Bonjour tout le monde from Chicago.
Bonjour.
It's Chris, the official French teacher.
Ah, bonjour.
Bonjour, monsieur. All I can say about Gordon is, quel idiot.
Yes.
Because there have been shifts added to most of the plants. You know, they're going to midnight shifts, so that means they're hiring entirely new workers. So I don't know what he's talking about when he says that there's, you know, jobs are gone.
Yeah, yeah, no, exactly. Well, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Deb in California on the Solyndra. Hi, Deb.
Hey there, love.
Hello.
My love affair with you has not died.
Oh.
And it's been at least, you know, a few months.
Well, there's one. Okay. Go
oh,
ahead,
that's
Deb.
Funny. Oh, you. Oh. You know, we think about you. My husband and I cried when you broke up.
Oh, Deb.
Well, because we know that we love each other, and we didn't want you to not have some perfectly doting, cool-ass chick. Oh,
language. That's all right. We will
Hopefully.
Continue our three-way. It's magic. Go ahead.
Well, right on.
All right.
The thing is, I had seen RFK Jr. on Jennifer Granholm's show many
yeah.
weeks ago.
Yes.
And he, may I read, I wrote down every word out of his mouth, but I wouldn't read the whole thing. I would read about a minute's worth of it.
Oh.
It's about Solyndra, maybe half, maybe 30.
How about you paraphrase for me?
Okay. What he talks about is that we give all these subsidies to the richest industry in the history of the world, but if you took away the subsidies, they couldn't compete against the renewable sources like wind and solar industries if they were in the even field, because wind and solar aren't receiving subsidies, but we are finally getting to the point where we can now produce electricity to deliver electrons less expensively than coal. Okay, so
right.
the other thing he mentions is that Solyndra did not fail because of a failed technology. They failed because the Chinese are investing over $750 billion into
yes.
their wind and solar.
That's what
the
I
Chinese,
said. I said that the conclusion yeah. ought to be we ought to invest more in
right.
solar. That's
right.
Exactly right.
And the Chinese see this as the arms race of the 21st century. That was the main gist of what he said.
Yep.
They see this as the arms race. We're the ones who destroyed Solyndra. The United States government, the Congress, who did not, who would not give the subsidies to the up-and-coming technologies of the next 100 years. These are the technologies that we're going to be wanting. Anyway,
I got to tell you, Deb, by the way, no one's smarter on the environment than Bobby Kennedy Jr., and send your thoughts and prayers out to him. His his wife just committed suicide. They have four kids. They have four kids under 17. So
I mean, we couldn't believe it. We were in shock over it. We just thought, man, if somebody's that unhappy, and I mean, I love RFK, so I can't imagine how his wife was feeling.
Well, it's a tragedy for those kids as well. So send your thoughts and prayers out to Bobby Kennedy, our good friend. Okay, let's go to Beth in Dallas. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Beth, welcome.
Hey, hi, Mama. Hi, Luke. How you doing?
Good.
Good. Well, I just wanted to point out that the tireless people at Bain, I know it's hard work creating so many jobs, but they're still at it. They are now working on American Airlines. They've been retained by American to do everything that the Rude Pundit has said, you know, out of their playbook, you know, cutting 14,000 jobs, offshoring, outsourcing, firing people, hiring back at lower salary, you know, decimating retirements, the whole bit.
Yep.
So I just wanted to point that out.
No, and that's a good point, Beth. No one's made this morning, too, is about retirement funds as well. It's not just, you know, what they're doing to workers presently and the number of jobs they're cutting. But again, you know, as the president said, not the point to create jobs. The point is to create profits for Bain.
That's right.
Monroe in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Monroe.
Hello, hello.
Hi.
Hi, y'all. Well,
yes.
Just wondering if you'd mind if I got a little wonky geeky with some of the North Carolina Amendment 1 numbers.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, we got 9.5 million people living in the state, and only about 6.5 million of those are registered voters. So when you look at the, like, 1%, 1.2 or 3 million that voted for Amendment 1, you're only talking like about less than 15% of the state.
Right.
Telling the rest of us what we got to do.
Yep. No, that's right. Somebody sent me this from the, from the News and Observer there. But that's exactly what they're talking about. Because the percentage in the, you know, non-presidential election, it really is low.
Right.
This one is saying, let's see, blah, blah, blah. 61% of that 34% or 21% voted for Amendment 1. That's just over one-fifth of the state's eligible voters, hardly the overwhelming majority that has been touted in some quarters since it's passed. That's something that, you know, at least a silver lining to look at. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, Charlie Pierce has some great stuff as usual on Cory Booker and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Everybody does.
Woo! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Oh, Terry writes, given that I'm a lesbian, I'm fairly confident I can rig that electric fence to be a vibrating fence instead. Snap! Pastor homophobe. Oh, Josh, real quick in Chicago. Hi, Josh. Welcome.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
You asked earlier what the difference was between homosexual and queer.
Right.
And I just wanted to give you the version that I've been taught is that while homosexual is you're attracted to a person of the same gender, same sex, queer is when there is some other factor that is your determinant for who you're attracted to.
Hmm.
Like my girlfriend, for instance, she's attracted to masculinity, but doesn't care whether it comes in a man or a woman.
Oh.
Okay.
I doubt that the pastor understands those distinctions.
No. Something just tells me
he wants a catch-all. One pen size fits all.
I just know they can't reproduce. So.
No, because no straight couple has ever produced a homosexual ever.
No. Where do they come from, Mommy? Okay, let's check in with our Tuesday. There's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Pierce. Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
Hi, we've been visiting the Cracker Factory in North Carolina, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
Yes, indeed.
Pastor Homo Pen.
So, Charlie Pierce, great piece on the whole Cory Booker brouhaha. And, you know, you wrote about it first, of course, as you always do. And then there comes the headline today. Bain and financial industry gave over $565,000 to Newark Mayor Cory Booker for his 2002 campaign.
Curious.
Because you said the man has national aspirations, and given the way the entire system has been rigged by John Roberts and the Super Supremes, when you have a national aspirations, you make sure the country's actual owners are clear about exactly how much of a hoe you're willing to be. If that means you tromp all over the White House current messaging, that's why they're called national aspirations. Yeah, he's having a hard time walking this back, isn't he?
Yeah, well, he can't. I mean, the nauseating is a hard word to walk back in so many ways.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the equivalence between that and the Jeremiah Wright stuff is just preposterous.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I have no idea what he was thinking.
Yeah, exactly. I love that you say the GOP picked up his criticism and flew with it like a crow that found a gum wrapper. It's just, he spent the rest of the day trying to explain he did not speak out of naked ambition and raw self-interest.
Hey, listen, when I can get a laugh from Chris Lavoie in, like, La Jolla.
Yeah, stuff, right?
Yeah!
I think I'll turn on Current TV and see if he's sitting on the sidewalk.
But, you know, you say in this the same piece, I gradually have come to the conclusion widely expressed elsewhere, the only hope for progressive policies in the foreseeable future is that the Tea Party people stay so nihilistic and nutty that they refuse to take yes for an answer from the endlessly pliable Democrats. The zombie-eyed granny starver himself, Paul Ryan, was on yesterday, too, pretending once again he's an actual economic thinker and not a purveyor of snake oil. I mean, it. Thank you for calling it as it is. As you say here, repeat after me, neither Pat Club for Growth Toomey nor the zombie-eyed granny starver are interested in either saving Medicare or improving Medicaid. They're dedicated to the destruction of both because they don't believe either one to be legitimate functions of government. Go ahead.
I don't see the possibility of these guys having changed their minds on this. This is what got them elected. This is what their entire political personas are about. They just don't want to say it because they know it's an electoral loser.
But yeah, I love you.
I mean, when Newt Gingrich talked about letting Medicare die on the vine, he wasn't kidding. That's a strategy.
Right. And I love that you nailed him on the whole. Whenever they try to pin these guys down on how these numbers possibly work, you got, well, I'm not going to negotiate with myself on television, right?
No, I'm going to negotiate with a bunch of hedge fund guys over $3,000 bottles of wine.
Yeah.
The way the business of the country is done.
Yeah. Turning to George Stephanopoulos, you say human fountain John Boehner stopped by and said he's having trouble keeping the amphibians in his charge under control. I've never been shy about leading, he said, but, you know, leaders need followers. We've got a pretty disparate caucus. Oh, that's nice. It's hard to keep 218 frogs in a wheelbarrow long enough to get a bill passed.
Well, first of all, I give him credit for not using the herding cats metaphor, which is now a cliche.
Right. Yeah.
Because frogs in the wheelbarrow is one I've never heard before.
That's new.
There it is, yeah.
That's new, and as you point out, especially when one of the frogs is, say, Alan West, who keeps telling the other frogs they're actually a pride of lions who should go out and eat everything they see. Yeah, I mean, this is his spin on having a completely uncontrollable caucus, right?
Well, I think they're enormously controllable. Nothing's happening in the country they don't want to have happen.
Yeah,
I mean that's quite a level of control right there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so is that his going to be his strategy? That look, I can't
do anything with these people.
Yes, exactly. Because
you're lucky you have me, because otherwise, you know, these people would run amok.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, and what's going to happen with this debt ceiling thing again? Exact same thing.
I think they're gonna play it out right to the end. I stopped using the phrase. I can't imagine these guys would. In any context at this point. I mean, I wouldn't say, I can't imagine these guys wouldn't like light themselves on fire in the middle of the House floor at this point.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it gets exhausting, doesn't it? You're just, you because it seems to me like they lost even politically on that last time, and yet
it seems to me that they lose politically on a lot of things, and they don't, and it doesn't seem to bother them. So either they believe that they're not losing politically, or they don't really care. I mean, there doesn't seem to be a middle of the road on it.
Charlie, you have to clue me in, because I'm late to this game, the Indian Wars and Elizabeth Warren's problem. I've heard Rush Limbaugh make a joke or two, but tell us what's going on. You talk about the Boston Herald led the paper and said it's probably too late for the state's Democrats to abandon Warren over this scandal.
Yeah, this is the, and I speak as a former employer of that fine employee of that fine publication.
Right.
This has been their little tin drum that they've been beating. Apparently, at some point or another, repeating what I believe to be family lore, which is pretty much the same thing as Marco Rubio did.
Right.
Elizabeth Warren claimed to be like 132nd Cherokee.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And actually, it's not even entirely clear she ever did it. It's been claimed for her by various institutions at which she's worked. And the Herald has turned this into sort of an anti-affirmative action crusade.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, there's a really kind of ugly subtext.
And it's actually hurting
and frankly,
her.
Frankly, I haven't met anybody in my life from Oklahoma who doesn't claim some Indian ancestry. I just don't. But
right, but the point you make is she doesn't seem to recognize the power that trivial nonsense can have in our politics.
Yeah,
I mean,
that has been her problem. She's not handled it well. She keeps trying to change the subject. She had a really bad interview with Chris Matthews about it, who was trying to throw her a life raft. And, you know, she's just got to realize that, first of all, she's got to realize what the subtext of this is really all about, which is basically to somehow undermine her academic credentials by calling her an affirmative action.
Yeah, which are impeccable, of course.
Yeah, yeah. And she has never, there's no evidence that she's ever done that. This is the last great battle of the Indian Wars up here.
We
thought they were over in the 1600s. We were wrong.
By the way, you sound like you have 218 frogs in your throat this morning.
Yes,
right?
I do. I need John Boehner with a very tiny wheelbarrow.
And some Ricola.
Perhaps you need a turtle tunnel.
But, you know, you make a good point. There's something grim and nasty at work here that local Democrats ought to recognize before they start sniping at her, and something national Democrats ought to recognize as a force to be defeated. I mean, it's just, here we go again, right? Like you say, it really is just kind of an ugly affirmative action story that has no basis in fact, and yet it seems to be hurting her.
Well, I mean, it has just enough basis, in fact, to have legs. And I'm frankly astonished it's lasted this long, but it has. And I haven't seen any polling data one way or the other to say if it's having any effect on the race, which still is you know confident. Yeah. But when you've got local Democrats talking about how worried they are, you don't need that doesn't need to happen. That doesn't happen with the Republicans.
They're going Cory Booker on her, you're right. Marco Rubio. I mean, first of all, that was different in that he totally misspoke. His parents obviously didn't flee Castro.
But even so, if it's something your parents told you your whole life and you spout it when you're grown up, I sort of got people a little flack for that. But this is the power of nonsense. And to ignore it or to say, well, we're not talking about the real issues. Well, unfortunately, in this country, somebody should write a book about this, by the way. You know, people have strange ideas about what the real issues are.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it's getting a lot of traction in the Twitterverse and the blogosphere.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, it's an easy jab.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, the chief of the Cherokee Nation is 132nd Cherokee.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, my personal favorite of yours this week, Sarah Palin needs a map again. Princess Dumbass of the Northwoods. Once stumped by the fact that America has more than one newspaper and the fact the Supreme Court has issued more than one decision since the Constitution was ratified, has found another career for which she is unqualified for now. If you're keeping score at home, you say anything that has to do with the travel industry, up to and including drawing the little yellow route maps on triptychs. Triptychs. Because she told in a robocall voters in Kansas to support a candidate who's running in Texas.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is, at some point when Spain owned half the continent, probably was a legitimate thing. But I don't think they were electing senators back then.
Yeah. I heard some of the robocall. Hello, Texas. I'm Sarah Palin. It's like, oh, no. Oh, no.
Bless your heart.
No, bless her heart. Charlie Pierce, go get some lozenges.
I'll get some throat thing.
Maybe Stephanie.
Either that or I'll just drop right down and become a whiskey-voiced FM.
There you go.
Disc jockey.
There you go.
I think Stephanie might have a Dusty Sucrets in her purse.
An old Werther's.
From 1958.
Yes.
I have an old Werther's with the dog hair on it.
Oh, fine. Wonderful.
All right. Charlie Pierce, see you next Tuesday. Love you. All right, there he goes.
Everything
minutes.
In your purse has dog hair on it.
Yeah. Everything in your life has dog hair on it.
44 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Kid tested. John Conyers approved. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gonna do with all that junk inside your trunk.
I'ma get you drunk, get you love drunk off my hump, my hump, my hump, my hump, my hump, my hump. My hump.
Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Access your PC from anywhere with GoToMyPC. It's what we use. We love it. We want you to try GoToMyPC free 45 days. For our exclusive offer, visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the Try Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. I'm sorry, Jimmy, enjoying the music? Was that what you wanted to say?
My hump, my lump. My bump, my lump, my bump, my
no,
bump.
You've got the words all wrong.
No, that's wrong. Those are the wrong lyrics.
My lovely lady loves.
Ah, yes.
Check it
that's
out.
Much cleverer.
Okay. All right. Cory Booker. That's what's got us all in a
slowly
tizzy.
Slowly I turn.
Who are you? What you do?
On Meet the Press.
This kind of stuff is nauseating to me on both sides. Oh, I have
please.
To just say from a very personal level, I'm not about to sit here and indict private equity. It's to me, it's just this, we're getting to a ridiculous point in America. If you look at the totality of Bain Capital's record, they've done a lot to support businesses, to grow businesses,
sure.
And this to me, I'm very uncomfortable.
Sure. Oh, and Hitler loved animals. Oh, there I go. The Hitler
there you go again, Jim. You see what you did there.
Hitler built the Autobahn.
Yep.
And then since then, he's been backpedaling, scrambling.
I'm gonna clarify.
He's clarifying his comments.
I'm clarifying my backpedaling scramble.
The GOP, of course, quickly sent out an email saying, do you know what Obama does with people who stand up for job creators? He silences them. That's right. By Sunday evening, the Obama campaign had pressured Booker into taking back his support for the free market. Don't let the White House silence free enterprise. If you agree, sign our petition. I stand with Cory Booker.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the current landing page for GOP.com reads, I stand with Cory. So Booker responded last night. He said that slogan had me and my entire staff really fit to be tied. This was his first hostage video on YouTube.
I use the word nauseating on Meet the Press because that's really how I feel. I believe that Mitt Romney, in many ways, is not being completely honest with his role and his record, even while a business person.
Okay. Okay. As Charlie Pearson, that's kind of a hard word to walk back from. Here he is again.
He's talked about himself as a job creator, and therefore it is reasonable, and in fact I encourage it, for the Obama campaign to examine that record and to discuss it.
Yes, well, that's
in
exactly.
In a non-nauseating way.
Right. Yes, in a way less vomitous, apparently. Okay, here he is.
I am upset. I've been taken out of context. I've been used to support a cynicism. If there's any honor in what they were saying, Mitt Romney would have come out and said, you know what, like Obama did, Citizens United decision is going to hurt our democracy. He would have come out and said, the negativity on our side, I'm going to talk about us, has got to stop. If he wanted to come out and stand with me, he would say, you know what, I stand with Cory Booker. Let's stop the super PAC money. Let's stop the negative campaigning. Let's talk about the issues.
Yeah, he's the one that drew the analogy between the Reverend Wright attacks, which are completely ridiculous and out of bounds, and even Mitt Romney says so, and Bain Capital, which he's running on. He's running on his business record. So he said last night, that slogan had me and my entire staff fit to be tied. Here they are plucking sound bites out of Meet the Press to manipulate them in a cynical manner to use for their own purposes. Of course they are. They're Republicans. That's what they do. That's why you don't go on Meet the Press and give them ammunition. I'm very upset I'm being used by the GOP this way. If anything, they've turned me on to work harder for the next 6 months. I thought I was going to be quiet, but you're going to hear a lot from me. I agree with David Axelrod, who just said he's wrong.
Yeah.
Cory Booker was wrong, period. Let's go to Kevin in Indiana. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kev.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
I love you guys.
Thank you.
But, you know, not in the queer way.
No. Or a gay, or a homosexual, or a lesbian
or
way.
Or electrified fence way.
Not any of those.
Yes.
So, these job creators, they've been getting, what, tax cuts for, well, since the Bush era, for years and years now, right?
And they've been creating jobs in China.
Yes.
In China. But, see, I'm not paying them to create jobs in China. I'm paying them to create jobs here, and they've failed. So, basically, they're fired, and I want my money back.
There you go. Thank you, Kev. Oh, by the way, Tommy asks, Steph, free-range lesbians, do they taste like chicken?
Oh, my God.
Debbie in New Hampshire,
You're
on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, guys. Good morning. One thing I want to say, I think I'm going to meet you guys in June in Boston. I got tickets for the show.
Yay.
I'm excited. And number two, I wanted to make a comment about the pastor, about the electric fence.
Yes.
It is ridiculous to me that this man is even talking this way because it's heterosexual families that have children. By his own admission, he said that by doing this, we're going to destroy them all because they cannot reproduce. But we're the ones that keep reproducing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is so ridiculous. These people are so tied in a knot.
He's not,
begin to understand.
He's not detail-oriented, Deb. He's more of a big-picture guy.
A big picture or a big fence should be all electrified.
Okay. Gil in Illinois on our preacher friend. Hello, Gil.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to say two things about the electrified fence, Pastor.
Yes, yes.
One thing, that would be the best decorated, well-run island on the planet.
Right.
True.
Right.
And second of all, him talking reminds me of a line from Designing Women when Mary Jo says about Suzanne that she thinks there's a patron saint of homosexuals named St. Francis of Assisi.
Oh, I'm going to guess that Gil is gay. I'm going to go out on a limb. Anyone that quotes Designing Women? I don't know.
Any man that
man,
quotes.
Man, right?
Yeah. and any man that quotes
one time,
Golden Girls?
One time Dixie?
Yeah.
Designing Women? Said, okay.
Kevin.
All right.
Julia.
Right.
Not
Julia, too. Sure. Yeah. Kevin in Orange County, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kev.
Hey, Stephanie. Hey, Chris. Hey, Jim. Hey, Jackie.
Oh, boy.
Everybody settle.
Oh, I wanted to make a point, and I don't think my point is any less valid than a birther's point. And I think that Romney is actually a robot.
Yeah.
Hear me out.
Yeah.
And I think it's foreshadowing, because I was reading the Article 2 of the Constitution last night for some late night reading, and it says no person except a natural born citizen. So what basically is going to happen is that people are going to come out and say that he's not really a robot, and that he's not really appreciating as a robot, but he's going to say, yeah, well, corporations are people, and I was manufactured in the United States.
Yeah, there you go. He could
Obama,
be...
please stop. I know things have not been quite right with me lately.
Sarah, all he has to do is disconnect him during a debate.
How beautiful for space scars.
Sarah in North Carolina. Hi, Sarah.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hi.
Please let Charlie Pierce know that there are some sexy liberals in the cracker factory of North Carolina, believe you call
them. All right, yes. We apologize. It's all you crackers.
I got a great way to sell gay marriage. Uh-huh. And it'll solve the problem that the Republicans plainly have with sex of any kind, because that no one wants to teach my teenage daughters anything about birth control. They're trying to make any sort of access to any type of abortion illegal, and they don't want you on the dole as a single mother. You let the gays get married, and they can raise all the babies.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Look at you clever little minx. Michael in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
From the Cracker Factory. Wow.
From the Cracker Factory. Michael in New York. Hi, Mike.
Hey there, sexy liberal mama.
Hello now.
Hey, Mooks. Let's analyze Mitt Romney's corporations or people. I don't know how he can say corporations or people when none of them have a penis or a vagina.
Mm.
I don't see how, if corporations or people, why don't you show us the birth certificates the same way you harassed President Obama for his? If corporations or people, I want to know what they have for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner, how many times they go into the bathroom, how many times they peed, how many times they poop, how many times they shake it.
All right, Michael, we get it. All right, you lost me at penis. 58 minutes after the hour.
I usually do.
I'm going back on my fence. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, Aaron did. Steph, as a graduate of Oregon State University, it was nice to see you wearing a beaver hat the other day. What's your connection to the university? Well, there's actually no connection. I will just wear anything that anyone sends me. Thank you so much.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
No connection, just immature.
That's right.
Why do you ask?
I think there might be a connection to an electrified fence.
All right.
A listener sent that to you, so.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I wore it.
There you go.
So there.
It was a nice hat.
All right. I will put on or take anything off that anyone asks me to. That's just how I am.
Wow.
Slut. Look at me. Slut.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You're like NASCAR that way.
Mm-hmm.
Slut. She's a slut. Look at her slut.
Thank you. Uncle Dookie in South Boston writes, hi, Steph. What movie show thing does computer says no? Oh.
Computer says no.
Computer says yes.
Come from. It's Little Britain
mm-hmm.
on
That's
the
right.
BBC. When will I be able to purchase my Dog is Good hat? Oh, that is from Bad Dog Frida in Madison, Wisconsin that I wore the other day. Why? Because they sent it to me.
There you go.
They're an awesome pet store. You can probably get it from them.
Bad Dog Frida?
Yes.
I'll look for it online and post it on
yes.
your
Facebook
page.
Yes, Dog is Good is
Facebook
the
page.
They have Dog is Good hats. Watch you daily on Current TV. Oh, it's another unsolicited testimonial.
Watch
you daily.
But you watch us currently on Daily TV.
Yes, on Current TV in Boston when I get home from work. Thanks to my trusty DVR, it keeps me sane. I don't know, those of you counting on us for your sanity, wow, good luck. Because mine is just hanging
Prozac
by
and a VCR, a DVR. Yeah.
Jim Ward's hysterical mitt impersonation is the most accurate since Chevy Chase's President Ford. Well, he mostly just fell down. Jim's impression, I think, much better.
That was an insult.
Yes, exactly.
Because he wasn't doing Gerald Ford at all.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Exactly. All right.
I'd give you the finger, but it's on TV.
All right. You know, every now and again, we have our good friend right wing tool Rich Galen on, and then he needs time to lick his wounds, and he sometimes won't return our calls, and then some mornings he does, and it's magic, just like this morning. Good morning, Rich Galen.
Wait a minute, I'm still licking.
Why does a right wing tool lick himself? Because he can.
If everybody can.
Yeah.
How's the tour going?
It's going fabulous, thanks for asking.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. Rich, so obviously everybody talking about Cory Booker this morning. Boy, so there's sometimes, you know, you've been a strategist for a long time where you just bury your head in your hands. The Obama camp, right? It's
yeah.
hard to dig his way out of this hole where you just go, oh, he's just, as David Axelrod says, wrong. He's just wrong on this.
Well, David Axelrod thinks he's wrong.
Yes.
Obviously, Cory Booker didn't think he's wrong. Neither did Harold Ford, by the way,
yeah.
who also came out in support of him. It's one of those things that happens. It happens, generally speaking, when campaigns are sort of, you know, when they've sort of run off the road a little bit. These things come in sequences. You just stuff goes wrong, and then they get straightened out. People forget about it. This isn't going to be the end of the campaign, but I really do think that it takes the. I mean, obviously, it takes the Obama campaign out of its message mode for. Four days.
Rich, you know there's something wrong when the Republican candidates in the primary have made the case against Romney and Bain Capital better than some of, obviously, the surrogates that have been out there now, right?
Well, Newt made the point last night that I thought was a pretty good one. He said that he was surprised that the Obama people are doing it, not because it's, you know, what they're saying is right or wrong, but because Newt tried to do it, and it didn't work. So
right.
he said, well, I mean, why would they do something that they've already seen doesn't work? But this is where they've got polling that says this is where people stand up.
Rich, but isn't there a difference in a Republican primary? It doesn't work among Republicans who see any attack on any kind of capitalism as bad, whereas I think among, you know, obviously the Democratic electorate and the general electorate, that does resonate.
Well,
I think there
sure
is
about,
a difference between
sure
vulture capitalism.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the independents, but you're exactly right. It is designed to get the Democratic liberal, and I use liberal as just a point on the chart, not as a pejorative, but the liberal base kind of ginned up and saying this is what we're fighting against. It's the us again, you know, it's the Occupy.
Well, I wouldn't say we're as ginned up as that socialist Rick Perry who called it vulture capitalism.
Yeah, well, how did that work for him?
Again,
exactly.
not well, in the Republican primary.
You're making my case. I appreciate it.
You're making mine. I know you are, but what am I? yeah, that's all I'm saying is I think that, you know, what's that?
Glue.
As the president said, I mean, when Mitt Romney is running on this, I mean, it absolutely is fair game. You can't say this is a dirty politics that should nauseate anybody. He is running on his business experience.
Yeah,
right?
I don't think anybody thinks of that is the part that's, I mean, I don't think it's dirty politics at all, as far as I'm concerned. Anything is fair game. But the, but I think what people who actually know about this stuff, and I'm not one of them, because I don't understand business, hence I'm on the phone with you. The
Thank you, pardon. Snap. Oh, you're a little frisky this morning.
Yeah, I am really.
I like you like this.
A little licking goes a long way.
There you go.
Oh, don't I know it.
But I think it's the, it's not Bain Capital per se, it's the perceived attack on capitalism in total that I think has some of the Obama's people a little bit nervous.
Yeah, that's but, really but I, you know, the president made very clear he, of course, is not attacking all capitalism. I mean, you it is fair, isn't it, to look at these companies that they have highlighted in some of these ads. I mean, how does Mitt Romney have the gall, by the way, to go out and say, oh, Solyndra, Solyndra, Solyndra? It's like, oh, I'm sorry, are you saying there's winners and losers in business, but the ones, all the companies you bankrupted at Bain, those don't count?
Well, first of all, I'm not sure how many all those are. That's number one. Number two is, I think there's a lot of difference between using your personal money to back a business and using my personal money to back a taxpayer-supported business.
Take that up with George Bush, who started the process for Solyndra.
But they didn't make the deal, and they also didn't change the terms of the loan. Where we can get into this for
all right.
100 years.
Yeah.
The sound of radios clicking off all over the country.
Just when we were getting along so well.
I know. Lick this.
Lick this.
Wow. Go Rich.
Wow. Rich came loaded for bear this morning. It's hard to say how that's going to play out as the campaign rolls along, but
yeah,
you're
right. This is only May. I mean, you know, people are paying attention, sort of looking through one eye. They want to get the kids finished with the school year. I mean, there's a lot going on in the country and in the world. And right now, these are like two heavyweight boxers in the early rounds. They're just throwing jabs to see where, you know, how the other guy reacts. And I think that's part of what's going on here.
Yeah, it's just made you flinch time, right?
Yeah, that's right. Just wait till we get serious.
So now Mitch Daniels, the miniature governor of Indiana, said that, he said he delivered his most forceful rejection to the vice presidential post yet, saying he would disconnect the phone if he found out that Romney was considering him. He would disconnect his little tiny Barbie phone. So who is going to be the VP?
If I had to bet a quarter, I'd bet on Rob Portman of Ohio.
Oh.
And let me tell you why. One of the things that your guy Joe Biden doesn't get any credit for, but should get an enormous amount of credit for, is how many times he's bailed the president out with the House and the Senate. Biden was elected when he was to the Senate when he was 29 years old. He wasn't even constitutionally allowed to take the oath of office. He turned 30 before the Congress convened, so he could get sworn in. But he's been there for 40 years in the U.S. Senate. He knows where every cobweb is in every, you know, hideaway office. And time after time, he's gone up to Capitol Hill to smooth ruffled feathers, to kind of take the message. You know, he'll get things done if somebody needs tickets to the White House box at the Kennedy Center, whatever. He's done that on behalf of the president because he actually knows how the place works. The president doesn't, and frankly doesn't want to. And Romney finds himself in the same position where he'd be elected. Romney also doesn't have many pals on Capitol Hill. And somebody like Portman, who was a congressman, is a senator, was OMB director, was U.S. Trade representative, and is the senator from Ohio, by the way, I think would be a very useful choice in terms of governing.
So saying he'd be a big effing deal.
Yeah. and he's going to go with the boring white guy. Okay.
Well,
as
you know,
much has been,
unlike who? Barack Obama, who went with the boring white guy. I just want to make that.
I don't know. Yeah,
he's
Joe Biden
boring.
Is many things, but he's not boring.
I love the fact that the White House calls when Biden speaks and they have to go clean up after him. They call him Joe Bombs.
Now, speaking of marriage equality, are you pro or against electrified fences for lesbians?
I'm a pro gay marriage guy. I always have been.
Oh yay for you.
I don't have any problem with that.
Well, how do you feel it's going to play or not in the general?
I don't think it'll have much. I don't think it'll do much either way. I think it's one of those things that when you look at the you know, top 15 issues, that ain't on it for most people. So there are some people for whom that is a game changer on one side or the other, and they're going to vote in favor of that. But I think overall, it'll have a very minor impact on voting behavior. But I think as a as a right. That it's a, I think it's a very big deal in terms of, you know, a human right. So I'm not taking it lightly.
Well, you better watch out. You might find yourself behind an electrified fence.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's okay. Going to be all full of lesbians and Republican strategists.
I'll be back there with some really smart people, so that's okay.
Absolutely. Rich Galen, you are a delight, much to my chagrin. We will talk to you again real soon.
I have so. Thanks.
All right, there he goes.
Yay.
Oh, Julie in Portland has a question about these electrified pens. Okay. Hi, Julie.
Hey, this is Jewel in Portland, Oregon.
Yes, hi, Jewel.
Regarding the electrified fences,
yes.
I guess that probably the first couple that should probably go through that would be Mary Cheney and her wife.
Oh.
And since Mary Cheney has given birth to the Antichrist,
that's right.
I figure, well, if you're going to have an electrified fence, let's make it equality here.
Yeah, there you go.
And that worked really good in World War II with the Japanese Americans.
Yes.
We actually had to pay them.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to my lesbian reparations after I get put in a lesbian internment camp. Okay. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's a lot of zeros.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I don't like it.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Ooh, someone tweeted me. Bain bankruptcies did cost taxpayer money. Bain raided pension funds, then pensions of bankrupt companies had to be paid by taxpayers.
That's right.
This is a guy called Flinders Different, the taxpayer money team. Something like that.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Just paraphrasing there.
Terry writing me a letter about why I am exactly like Hitler. See, this is what this campaign's going to be like. Because the Breitbart site said said Mitt Romney was just like Hitler, which I didn't.
No. No.
Now I'm.
Not in any way, shape, or form, actually.
Scott Walker will win. This nation only moves forward when Democrats lose. I am a retired UAW worker and sent Scott Walker some money. Oh, well,
wow,
first of all.
You're an idiot.
Wow, way.
Did you give back all your pension and all the money you earned while being a union member?
Good job. Nicely done, sir. Nicely done, Terry.
Well played.
You well played, sir. You call yourself a progressive. Isn't that what Hitler was?
No.
No.
He was the opposite of
far right.
And
actually,
may I say part two of... All right.
Someone called me yesterday and said that Hitler was a Marxist.
No.
He didn't have a picture of Marx on his wall in his apartment in Munich. It was a picture of Henry Ford because he was a well-known anti-Semite.
Yes.
Terry's
not done.
Okay.
Caught your stupid show by accident.
Stupid.
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 You stupid.
It's wrong that it's stupid. Oh, boy.
That never ends well for me.
No.
When people catch my show by accident. I will make sure that never happens again. Oh, I think you're watching, Terry. by the way, Terry from Florida, I'm a teabagger, whatever that is. I was thinking a person like you could explain it to you. Oh, well, as a matter of fact, yes, I can.
Computer says yes.
Yes, I can. If you go to sexyliberal.com or sexyliberal on Facebook,
that's right,
you can see the first interracial three-way teabagging demonstration with me and John Fugelsang and Aisha Tyler. And that's what teabagging is.
She's not teabagging. She's
no,
doing
she's doing.
Quite different.
She's added value. Okay. That's just a little something extra.
She's power something.
Mm.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, right. I saw the video. Yeah.
All right. let's go to Chris in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, I love when Newt Gingrich, you know, self-aggrandizes himself. But the reason
when has
why
he ever done that?
Attack, the reason why his attack, or not really attack, but his truthfully talking about Bain didn't work for him because he's Newt. I mean, if he's saying that it didn't work for him, so it won't work for Obama, he has to remember that Obama's the candidate on this side, but Newt was the candidate on the other side. Same with Perry.
Mm-hmm.
So if your alternative, it doesn't matter what Newt said. Doesn't matter what he said because nobody wanted him anyway.
Yep.
So it's really hard for him to be able to justify saying, don't do it because it didn't work for me.
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying. It doesn't work because any attack on any kind of capitalism doesn't play in Republican circles. Who thinks this kind of capitalism, Who thinks it's all the same? Boston-based Bain Capital more than doubled its money on GS Industries, the former parent company of Georgetown Steel, under Mitt Romney's leadership in the 90s, even as the steel manufacturer went to cut more than 1,750 jobs, shuttered a division that had been around for 100 years and eventually sank into bankruptcy.
Yeah, he destroyed a company and profited by it.
Yes. So is that the kind of capitalism? You're for that as well. It's all the same? Okay.
Whatever.
Let's see. Matt in Chicago would like to know where the lesbian pen will be located. Hello, Matt.
Yeah, I just wondered, where will this electrified fence be? Because if it's around Palm Springs and the government's paying for my Cosmos, I'm all for it.
There are lesbian scouts right now circling Provincetown and Palm Springs.
That's right. And Key West. All corners of the country.
The lesbian triangle.
Yeah.
Of the gayverse.
There you All right. And Barry in Illinois would like to be in charge. Hi, Barry.
Hi, how are you?
You would like to apply to be the lesbian wrangler at the lesbian pen?
Yeah, you know, I'd like to be the one that gets to interrogate and admit the lesbian.
Sure.
Yes.
You just got to make sure that they're lesbians, right?
Tag them and bag them. Yep.
Well, you know, I just have to give them a thorough interrogation before I could admit them.
Of course.
But, you know, that electric fence, it should be bigger.
I don't think this preacher meant to make a nation of men hot over this. That was not his intention in talking about the lesbians in the electrified pen. Okay, Renee in Colorado. Yes, Jim.
No, I was saying we should probably play that again.
Yes.
Well,
are we running out of time?
Yeah, we're running out of time.
All right, we'll play when we get back.
Yeah.
Because what's not fun about that? Okay, Renee in Colorado real quick. Hey, Renee.
Hey, Colorado for sexy liberals.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah.
Woo! Two things. First, I wanted to mention I saw a chart on the North Carolina voters who voted for that amendment, and it appears that most of those voters were in the really uneducated counties, and those who didn't vote for it were, of course, in the more educated counties.
Right.
But seriously, I'm not really concerned about the people who voted. I'm concerned about the people who didn't vote, because if it was that small a minority who actually turned out to vote, and everyone
knew
what was at stake, how do you get the rest of those people out there to what is morally right?
Yeah, that's right. Now, let's hope that this activates, you know, thinking people, because it really was. We only about 20% of voters, registered voters, that actually voted
for it.
They're
from Durr County.
Yes. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's one way to get the truth out. It's
Stephanie Miller.
Is that the music I've been playing inside the electrified fence?
Yeah. This is, you know, that circuit party music.
Oh, boy. All right.
Kylie Minogue, actually.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. This is, Pastor, what's his name? Charles Worley.
Mm-hmm.
Who I hope against hope is not any relation to Joanne Worley, whom I love. Okay. All right. Charles Worley, North Carolina pastor.
I figured a way to get rid of all the lesbians and queers, but I couldn't get it past the Congress. Build a great, big, large fence, 150 or 100 mile long, put all the lesbians in there.
Oh, dear.
Fly over and drop some food. Do the same thing with the queers and the homosexuals.
Different fence?
And have that fence electrified till they can't get out. Feed them. And you know what? In a few years, they'll die out.
Mm.
Do you know why they can't reproduce?
Oh.
No. All right. Problem solver. Okay. He's a helper.
So do you need separate fences for the queers and the homosexuals?
That's what I was wondering.
Lesbians?
Separate pens?
How do you...
Queers, homosexuals, lesbians?
Because if any two of those groups could potentially reproduce.
They could reproduce if forced.
Mm. Well, you know.
Okay.
If they're on the fence. Not the electrified one.
Yeah, if they're on the fence.
And what are gay, and who would serve as gay herding dogs? Probably like Yorkies, like teacup poodles, things like that.
Sure.
Grr.
A chihuahua in a purse.
Move, or I will bite your fabulous footwear. Okay. All right, so that's the guy we've been talking about. All right, oh, looky, it's Facebook stock.
What?
It's, what? Look, put your helmets on. It's tumbling after a disappointing day of trading on Friday. Facebook stock tumbled 13% yesterday, falling below its opening price on Friday. Gawker saying all you need to know as a consumer of Facebook is the crappier Facebook stock does, the greater the pace at which Facebook becomes even more annoying as big investors clamor for Mark Zuckerberg to wring more profits from us.
Oh, God.
What if Facebook created an algorithm to automatically insert advertisements in the pupils of each Facebook user's profile pictures unless they pay a $5.99 yearly clear pupil fee?
Wow.
What if? What if? Hmm. I bet you could do that. I bet you're working on that now. Okay. Where's my, can I have my marijuana music, please? Wow! Jim, here's something to look forward to out here in California. Did you happen to leave your 8,000-pound marijuana stash floating in the Pacific Ocean?
Oh, that's no. Where it is!
Anybody? Anybody?
Oh, I totally spaced on it. Wow.
180 bales of marijuana found floating in the waters in your Data Point.
180 bales of marijuana on the water.
Oh, Data Point.
Oh. Awesome waves. Awesome reefer. Awesome reef and reefer in Data Point.
It's reefer.
Yeah. all told, about 8,000 pounds of marijuana was recovered, a street value of $4 million.
Yowza.
Wow.
Weed. That's a lot of weed.
Catch a weed, a wave, and $4 million of weed. Yeah.
You got yourself a party.
Oh. Ruth in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ruth.
Hey, Mama.
Hello.
Just wanted to say I love your show. First time caller.
Thank you.
I've been watching you since day one. I would like to be the official tree hugging Al Gore loving environmentalist of the Stephanie Miller Show.
There you go.
And I wanted to call in and comment on a couple of things. First off, Cory Booker. What is nauseating about that is that he's accepting campaign funds from Bain Capital himself.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got the nerve to get on Meet the Press and, you know, say that he's, you know, nauseated by what's being discussed with, you know, everything that's going on with Obama and Bain Capital. And I just, you know, that's the pot in the kettle, you know, if I've ever heard.
I think the nausea set in when the check cleared.
Yeah, that seemed to pass then suddenly. Hey, how about speaking of nauseating, Cheney to host Romney fundraiser in July.
Huh.
In Jackson Hole.
That sounds dirty.
Right near the black hole.
Right near the lesbian pen.
No, it's not near.
It's not near the electrified fence.
No, it's near the black hole that in the universe that Dick Cheney has created with his evil.
Okay.
During the campaign, Romney, of course, spoke out in favor of torture. Remember that? Yes, and I remember John McCain blasted Romney for refusing to say that waterboarding was torture. Last year, Romney clarified the candidate did not believe that waterboarding is torture. Last year, Romney said was the kind of person I'd like to have as vice president. Now Dick is returning the favor with a big, fat fundraiser for fellow torture lover.
Is Romney in favor of soda boarding or coffee boarding?
No.
No, God, no.
No carbonation. No caffeine. All right.
Whiskey boarding?
Kevin in Chicago. Steph, speaking of analogies, how about this? The Sopranos used to love to get their hands on restaurants or businesses so they could, in essence, load them up with debt while helping themselves to all the goodies that the intentional debt purchased and then collect on the insurance money that came from burning the business to the ground when they could not incur any more debt. The only difference between what they did and Bain Capital did, one was illegal, one wasn't.
So Romney's a good fella.
Yeah, but the end result was the same. A ruined business, ruined lives, and dreams going up in smoke. Kevin in Chicago, thank you. Just an opportunity for you to do your James Gandolfini impression.
I haven't watched that.
Yeah, do you have one, James Gandolfini?
I used to do it. I
okay. It's been a while.
Yeah, he's been kind of out of pocket, so...
All right.
What am I, some kind of clown? I'm here to amuse you?
That's not James Gandolfini.
Romney doing Joe Pesci.
Yeah.
Stefan in Chicago. Hey, Stefan.
Hey, good morning, Steffi, with your fine ass. Me some self. How you doing?
So I'm talking about danger when I taste brown sugar, Stefan.
Hey, I just wanted to point out, I work for the railroad, and when the auto...
All the live long day?
Excuse me?
No, there's labor laws now, not all the live long day.
But when the auto industry, the Ford plant, shuts down just for Christmas, we've noticed the slowdown in our business. But I can point out a bunch of ancillary jobs. We're talking about, I don't know if you guys remember, for 2008, all those rail cars out east that were set around just were idle. All these auto racks, these rail cars that they transport automobiles, they were idle. Auto plant, auto parts. We transport a lot of auto parts. And not to mention the people who build the auto train, I mean, the auto cars. And, I mean, it's just so many jobs that are associated with the auto industry. And for them to say that only a couple, you know, not that many jobs were saved, it's totally untrue.
Yes, exactly. Thank you very much, sir. All right. Jim, who said, hello, Texas, I'm Sarah Palin.
Oh, God.
Who said that?
Tina Fey.
That's a good guess, though. No, Sarah Palin said in a robocall.
Julianne Moore.
No, we're done.
Okay,
those
sorry.
Good guesses all. Mm-hmm. That was Sarah Palin in a robocall to voters in Kansas.
Yeah. They had this in them, so it's close-ish.
Sure,
Kansas,
sure.
Texas.
Okay.
That'll do.
Alaska.
And like also to most Americans, U.S. Americans, I don't use a map. Okay. Wowee. Grover Norquist stopped trying to stop billionaires from dodging taxes makes you a Nazi.
Really?
See, I wanted to make up for, you know, the lack of Nazi analogies in the first couple hours of the show.
Ah.
After the Facebook co-founder...
Eduardo Severin.
Avoided, yes, some $67 million in taxes by renouncing his American citizenship shortly before the company made its initial public offering. Chuck Schumer and Bob Casey introduced the Expatriate Act. The bill would make former citizens subject to capital gains tax on U.S. investments and bar those who renounce citizenship for tax purposes from reentering the country.
There you go.
Sounds fair to me.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. To Grover Norquist, Schumer and Casey's effort is akin to... Nazism.
No.
He said, I think Schumer can probably find the legislation to do this. It existed in Germany in the 1930s. He probably just plagiarized it and translated it from the original German. See, because the Nazis infamously implemented a departure tax on Jews who tried to flee Germany before World War II. Schumer, by the way, is Jewish.
Yeah, yeah. When will Breitbart.com write a screechy headline saying, Grover Norquist compared Chuck Schumer to Hitler?
I'm guessing never.
Never.
The answer would be never.
Never.
All right. Rachel in Maine, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I got a question. Where do I fit in this gender spectrum of this fence? I'm male to female. I had surgery in 2009.
Ah.
And I'm still in love with females. So does that mean lesbian?
You need a whole new fence.
Yeah. You need a whole new pen of your own,
no,
Rachel.
Jump in. Jump in. You're with us.
Is there anything sweeter than a nice woman?
It's private. You get privacy. You get your own pen, I guess. I don't. We'll have to ask the pastor how that.
Well, she's the T of LGBT, so she would be included.
Some people see it as solitary confinement. Some people see it as privacy.
Although, if you include the B inside the pen as well, they can multiply because they're the bisexual.
Sure,
they'll do any. Yeah.
And what about the LGBT BLTs? What about that?
They're just tasty.
Okay. Let's go to Dave in Pennsylvania. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Is it me, or do they keep adding more letters?
They do. There's the Q. There's
LOL.
The...
LOL.
Yeah.
Hello.
LMFA. What? Yeah. Hi. Hi, Dave.
Romney's trying to act like Andrew Carnegie. He didn't build that steel mill. He wasn't the entrepreneur. That Smith family did that. His family built that business. They made a living. They had 750 people working for him. And Romney and Bain Capital come in there, paid herself big high salaries and bonuses, cut everybody's wages, steal their pensions. And you call that management? How to destroy a country?
That's right. That's absolutely right. Thank you. You're the smartest boy in class. All right. 45 minutes after the hour, you know, your tan mom, you're lucky she even tans for you. She has thoughts.
She's still in the news?
Yes.
Really?
Uh-huh. That and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Eek. I just spewed on my dashboard again. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Talk
talking to you, Cory Booker.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Bill in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bill.
Hi, everybody. Hello. I've got two things for you. First off, I know why right-wing tools lick themselves.
Why is that?
It's in order to get the taste of Koch brothers out of their mouth.
Oh, now, listen, you scamp, you. I think that'll be enough. We don't need two things from you. All right. Wow, I love this. In her May Washington Post column, May 18th, Kathleen Parker disputed the notion that Republicans behind the proposal that sought to make a campaign issue out of Jeremiah Ryder racist by suggesting that Fred Davis, who oversaw the proposal for the ads, recognized the ads' quote-unquote racial sensitivity and had planned to hire a conservative African-American as a spokesman.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. So it's not racist because they were going to get Larry Elder to make it all okay.
See, we got a black guy.
See?
Wow.
They don't even get how inherently racist that is?
Right.
Okay. All right. You might want to get my vomit sound effect ready.
Okay.
Because, I don't know, there's not one part of this will not make you want to yak. Breitbart Awards to honor quote-unquote journalists. Splat. The Heritage Foundation partnering with the Franklin Center for Government and Public Integrity. Splat. To issue the Breitbart Awards. The awards hail the Breitbart.com founder for having, quote-unquote, pioneered a new media revolution that transformed journalism and the political landscape and seek to recognize those who continue his legacy by carrying the torch for freedom and truth. End splat.
Do they realize that what Breitbart does is not journalism?
Yeah.
It's propaganda.
Yeah, it may be analysis or something, but
now
it's not journalism.
That was nauseating, Cory Booker.
Yep.
Okay. Jake in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jake.
Hey, what's up?
Not much. Go ahead.
All right. I was calling in because all of these candidates are willing to accept millions of dollars in donations, and super PACs can collect millions of dollars in donations and everything like that. But nobody is able to collect millions of dollars to pay down the debt and deficit. It just doesn't seem like it's very logical to me to, collect millions of dollars. I think a candidate would actually, win over everybody in the nation if they just said, I'm not running the campaign. All of my donations are going to paying the debt and deficit.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Jake. Very good. By the way, I just thought in the wake of the Cory Booker stuff, I should do one quick story about how Democrats got their together for a chance. What? Senate Dems win big judicial confirmation fight. Anybody paying attention? The Senate agreed to have a confirmation vote on the nomination of Paul Watford for the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit. Harry Reid's decision to force a vote on Supreme Court-level talent ended the minority streak of preventing President Obama from placing judges on the Federal Appeals Court who have backgrounds that suggest they could be up for a promotion in the future. So there, we'll take it. One tiny...
It'd be nice if that were reported somewhere else besides progressive media.
Yeah. Right. Okay. I think, as I mentioned to you, you're lucky tanning mom even tans for you. Leave her alone. Bastard people.
Leave her alone! You're lucky she even performed
tans.
For you, bastard!
Yes. Tanning mom from Joyzy. She wants people to know she is not the leather-faced lunatic the media has made her out to be.
But she's leather-faced.
Add a bit of a lunatic. She said, I'm sorry, I'm tan. I like to be tan. It just feels good.
You're not tan.
I really think these moms criticizing me need to step off.
You're charcoal.
Yes.
Yes, you're...
Someone just needs to tell her it's just a skosh too much. Yes. John Boner's like, oh, she's perfect color.
Yeah, she's tanner than the boner.
No, she's not tan. She's burnt. Yeah.
That's a first-degree burn
right
there.
That's a saddlebag. Yeah. It feels good. Oh, boy. Okay, let's see here. Pink and Carrie Hart dissed Chris Brown for lip-syncing at the Billboard Awards.
Mm-hmm.
Pink took to Twitter to say, one day if I lip-sync, I hope I do it as well as him.
Oh, dear.
Hart chimed in, I'm pretty sure I saw my wife did that same performance when she was 3 months pregnant and actually sang the song she was talking about when she did Raise Your Glass at the 2010
with
American...
With all those BMX bikers, I remember that.
Right, when she was pregnant. You know why I did the story? Because I'm going to see her. At the President Obama fundraiser here in here in L.A. in June.
Are you actually going to meet her?
And I'm going to raise my glass. Yes, I am.
Did you pay extra to meet her?
No.
Oh.
I'll just crash.
You'll just be in the same room as her. Okay.
Yeah, I'll be just getting fancy and dancy. I'll be dancing around security.
Oh, okay. God.
All right. Usher has testified, blasted his ex-wife in court, testifying that she flew into a jealous rage, hitting him, throwing food, and worst of all, spitting on his girlfriend.
Oh.
Oh, dear. She is a freak in the street and apparently a lady in bed. That's not right. Yeah. Oh, she's got it backwards. She's just a what?
Although that was ludicrous. That wasn't Usher.
Yeah, but it was Usher. It's an Usher song. I know what I'm talking about.
All right. I'm just saying.
Listen.
I'm getting fancy and dancy.
I don't know. What does Fitty say? What would Fitty do? Arsenio
Fitty probably
Hall.
Says something you can't say on the radio.
Yeah.
TV. There's that.
My buddy, my pal Arsenio Hall, one celebrity apprentice, kicked Clay Aiken's ass. Oh, Donald Trump said he'd never been so torn before.
I don't watch that show.
I don't either.
But good for Arsenio.
Yes.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, he is indeed. Madonna wishes she could be president of the United States.
Yeah, well. It helped to get rid of that phony English accent first. But
Mitt Romney wishes he could, too.
Yeah.
Madonna's about as qualified as Mitt Romney.
Yeah?
Yeah.
She's made a lot of money.
Yeah, there you go.
She's only got 4 minutes to save the world, though.
Man,
I think those four minutes are up.
Jim, how many calories a day does it take to look like a dying French prostitute? Didn't see that coming, did you?
No.
Oh, my God.
Quatre.
No. 500 calories, according to Anne Hathaway. And you have to gargle with egg whites.
Oh, gargle?
She is getting ready for Les Mis. Short for Les Miserables.
Les Miserables.
Oh, they're making a movie out of it?
Bleh. Yeah, she's going to win an Oscar because she has to shave her hair. Bad haircut, key. Accent, bad haircut. That's all you need.
Yeah, you know what? Persis Kambada shaved her head and she didn't win an Oscar.
She is filming the musical Les
Miserables. Les Miserables.
In London. She's been gargling with egg whites to help her voice, and she's on a 500 calories a day so she can look super thin in the role of dying prostitute Fantine. So there was your answer. I went all that way just to get to...
All right.
Dying French
prostitute.
Of course,
you could potentially actually die if you carry that on too long.
You could. You could. Okay. Oh, this is what's next for me.
What?
Are you ready for Barry Williams and Danny Bonaducci teaming up to hunt Bigfoot?
Oh, what?
Just like all of your worlds colliding in this one story.
Wow, in one big, right? I've dated Greg Brady. Danny Bonaducci frequently takes over for me when I get canceled on television.
Yep.
They're pitting Greg Brady and Danny Partridge against each other on the Sci-Fi Network. the former child stars playing competitors battling to capture Bigfoot after the hairy beast is discovered in South Dakota. And I will be there, because that's probably where the lesbian electrified panda is going to be. So all of my worlds magically will come together.
Great.
All right. That's it for us today. I would like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Chris Lavoie, voice deity, Jim Ward, a surly associate producer, Rebecca Taylor on phones and drums, and Courtney and the gang who are drinking heavily. It's been a technical day in the current control room.
Big hugs to current.
Oh, big hugs. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.